You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, we are here for a Game 2 recap. I'm going to host this one, as always. One of your co-hosts is me, Tony East, with the West Indianapolis Community News. A less excited Adam Friedman is on the other line, and he's really hungry. Adam, besides hungry, how are you doing?
That's not fair. You're hungry, too. I made you finish. I made you wait to eat your sandwich till after this thing. We did this podcast because I'm hungry and not just to eat my sandwich, and you're 2 feet away from your sandwich. I'm sure I'll hear you taking bites during the podcast, but it's okay.
I have to give my roommate a shout out for buying me a sandwich during the game that I could come home to.
That's a very nice roommate.
I know. He texted me a picture of the Witch bag, and then I drew on the picture and then sent it back. It was awesome.
That's a really nice roommate. Okay, let's move on to this
let's
game.
Let's talk about this game. so I think the only place that you really can start is that Victor Oladipo, in a 4-point loss, that ended up 3-point loss, was a plus 11 and only could play 28 minutes thanks to foul trouble, and that really dictated the entire game.
Oh, the entire first half, for sure. If the second half was a little less dictated by that, but the first half was, I mean, you got called on those two fouls, and that's, you know, we talked about officiating, and I don't think it was that big of a deal, but those were just bad calls to make in the instance and circumstances. First, Kevin Love was in the restricted area, and then LeBron shifted his feet and flopped to get the second foul. I mean, it was ridiculous, but
the charge was really bad. Really bad.
LeBron's left foot was moving, and LeBron sort of locked his arms and pushed himself back.
I was not into the charge. I was okay with the other one, but
yeah. I just think compounded it. The first one was like, oh, that's kind of a bad call. But then the second one was so bad, they made them both a bad call.
Right, I'll get it over with now so we can talk about actual basketball. I hate bitching about officiating. I'll put the censored tag on this, Adam, whatever.
It's fine. I hate it.
I think it's lame. I think it's so dumb. I think their job is impossible. I think they've done a great job this year. I think people are too critical of them. That said, the flagrant on Sabonis was the worst call I think I've seen all season by a lot. And that
That
was barely a foul. Like, he went for the ball. He hit him on the shoulder.
He tried to hold him up. He was not trying. And then he held him up, and then he sort of pulled away, and LeBron fell, because that's what LeBron does when he gets touched. He throws his body, falls. It's like
he's good at selling contact. That's a skill. But that one actually made me angry. The first time all season, I was angry at a foul. And I want to get it over with because I hate being like angry at something that doesn't, like, it's beyond my control. But man, that was so frustrating.
I don't think LeBron is good at selling content. I think he's good at showing like he got hit a lot harder than he did. It's a totally different thing. Like, James Harden sells contact. LeBron gets touched a lot, and then he'll act like he got punched in the face or got, you know, somebody ripped his arm out. Like,
I don't think he does that just because of his stature. I think he's also good at selling contact.
I just think he likes to exaggerate the way he gets hit. And then they zoom in on his face, and he's like got this like crunched up eyes and acting like he's like in so much pain, when this guy is a literal freak of nature. I don't think anything can hurt him. I don't know.
I won't complain about LeBron outside of the Sabonis flagrant, but that call was so bad that I'm actually going to complain about the refs and swear on my podcast. Just let's get that over with. But yes, the two fouls on Vic really changed the whole first half. I mean, the Pacers couldn't stop the Cavs in the first quarter. I'll pull up the first quarter box score just so I can read better. I don't have the stats right in front of me. So in the first
33-18 in the first.
Yeah, 33-18 in the first. Meanwhile, the Pacers were 7 of 18 in the first and missed both of their threes. I mean, the Cavs were just way better. And they made half of their 10 threes, and that was really the difference in the first game, is their threes were falling. Meanwhile, LeBron's hitting threes all of a sudden. Korver's back hitting his threes. Calderon, who had a good game, was hitting his threes. I mean, that really just changed everything. Without Oladipo, their defense just crumbled.
Yeah, and I think with Oladipo, they end up only being down probably like 10 in that first quarter, and that was the difference. I mean, if they're down 10 instead of 15, they win this game.
I don't think Oladipo being out would have stopped them from being hot, but I think you're right, absolutely, that, you know, they get less transition points or they're just a little less open.
They make up more buckets. They make them a couple more shots. They maybe don't stop the Cavs, but they get a couple more shots, because they had some opportunities that were just like Thad Young short on the rim, or Miles Turner short a couple times. Like, there would have been shots that Vic would have taken.
You can just see it. Like, Corey Joseph played his minutes, right? Corey Joseph played 10 minutes, minus 9. Like, that's it. That's it right there.
Also, you can
– in the first quarter, he was minus 9.
I mean, so the Cavs sort of, like, doubled – or, I guess, sort of started double-teaming Vic out of the pick.
They did, and they did a good job with it.
They did, but you saw a little a couple of times where he beat LeBron to the rim once. Like, Oladipo had his shot every time, almost every time he wanted to. He has to figure out how to get the pass back out of the double team.
Yes.
Which is a whole other thing which they should be working on. Hopefully they will. I mean, there's something where he should get it to.
He had – so let's talk about that. He had 6 turnovers, and a lot of those were off of the double teams. And to me, I think probably half of them were because he sees it, and he knows what he wants to do, so he sees it and he pulls back to get him to do that. But when he pulls back, he picks up his dribble. And I've talked about this before on this, but that just kills everything he can do because then they just swarm him.
Yeah. And so I think.
Because he's like, if he keeps his dribble or he throws it right away, it's always the right play.
No, you're right. There were a couple of times where there was one where he waited and got it out barely, but then it was a bad pass to Turner and it was swiped away. But what he needs to do is immediately throw it. And then all of a sudden there'd be a 4-on-3. And if Collison and Bowen are in the corners, that's like that's 240% 3-point shooters. In the corners, and the pass just goes immediately out to them. If they don't have the shot right away, kick it back out to Vic, and then it's just rerun it again.
Yeah,
but he waits too long, and I hope somebody's telling him that at least he's waiting a little too long. Too.
And I'll credit the Cavs for doing a good job of really putting the pressure on him there. But that would open up a lot for him because we see what he does when he does it right. You know, like you said, it becomes that 4-on-3 where things fall into place. And Oladipo's 6 assists led the team. I mean, tied to Collison, but they led the team tonight. Like, he makes the right pass every time. It's just he often makes it either too late or doesn't make it at all when the double team comes.
That is
definitely something to watch. And I'll go a step further. I mean, a Turner shooting 7 of 12, and he set great screens tonight. A lot of moving screens. I'm not going to care about that, though. he set some good screens tonight. He shot 7 of 12. He made his only 3. You know, he wasn't really banging the post as much as the first game, but that's because they went the Cavs went more with spread lineups. And, you know, they had Turner outside the lane, and Turner did a good job of spreading the court in this one. So if he can just get it to Turner even off the double right away, that's a fine play in this game. So I really think that if his decision-making just becomes more crisp right away, he'd be so much better in this series.
And I think with Oladipo, too, they run the screen almost every time when they don't always need to. So, like, one time, you know, Vic got ISO'd on LeBron, and he beat him to the rim. So why don't they do that when he's guarded by Jeff Green? Like, I don't know why Jeff Green's a better defender than LeBron. It's kind of discouraging when Vic only has 2 free throws where he should just go to the lane and draw contact, because they will call if he gets hit in the wrist. Like, they were not calling contact. Like, they weren't letting the people to shove him around. But I just would like to see, like, just stop running the screen and let Vic just go one-on-one against whoever it is. I mean, he can beat LeBron, so he can probably beat anybody almost.
Yeah, you saw him beat LeBron a few times, like you said. I think he can beat anyone on the Cavs in terms of pure speed outside of, like, maybe JR, but JR is just a terrible defender who just happens to be
fast. JR will foul him. If he takes JR to the rim, he'll foul him.
No, I'm not saying JR could stop him. I'm saying JR is the only guy who's as fast as him. Like, so I agree with you there. He should just attack. And, like, George Hill couldn't do a great job on him, and he's, what, their best defender? He fouled out, right?
Maybe he's their best defender. I don't know. George Hill. The fact that the Pacers just basically said George Hill, when they were down 3, win the game, and they knew he was going to miss. It was a great defensive whatever drop that where they basically forced the ball into Hill's hands, and then Hill tried to make a play and be a hero. But
I'm still a team. The Pacers traded away George Hill to sabotage the other team.
Yeah, I don't know. There's like 9 steps in between them where he has to leave. He has to turn down the 4-year, $80 million deal in Utah. And then he has to sign a contract with a team that's so bad they don't want to play him. Then he has to get hurt.
Dude, look, his agent's looking out for the Pacers. I appreciate that.
But back to JR for 1 second. So JR made that one defensive play where Vic was one turnaround from basically making JR sit on his ass because I can cuss, right? We can cuss now. I mean, he's from behind the back. Vic goes behind his back and he just slips it a little too high. Otherwise, JR is literally just faked the wrong way on the ground. Oladipo was running for a wide open 3. So, I mean, they were just. The fact that the Pacers lost this game by 3 points, and I know Vic hit that garbage time 3, but it was a 3-point game with 10 seconds left or 20 seconds left, so it was a 3-point game. And the fact that the Cavs probably played the best they're going to play the series, and even if they replicate this 3 more times, the Pacers could probably still win at least 1 or 2 of them because Vic won't get the foul trouble again because he'll hopefully not do anything stupid.
You think that's as good as they'll play the whole series?
You know, I think it's as good as LeBron's going to play all series. I mean, he's touched 17 of 24, 46 points. I mean, LeBron is not – that's like, what, close to 70% shooting? I mean, LeBron's a great shooter, but he's not a 70% shooter, especially when he shoots 40% from 3. I don't know. I think this is the best they're going to play, especially we don't know about Kevin Love. His finger could be dislocated completely. I mean, it looked sounded like it was that.
Yeah, that was his thumb, and it was gross. It was gross.
Yeah, I saw for a second. I get squeamish, so I didn't try to watch it. But, this is the best. I mean, this is the best they could probably play, right? I mean, they shot 40% from 3, which we were talking about how the Pacers win every time the Cavs shoot less than 30% or 35% from 3. So, I don't know. I think this is the best the Cavs probably are going to do, and they could probably replicate this a couple more times, but – I don't think they can do it three times, especially in Indiana, where the 3-point shots probably won't go in as much because it's a road thing. And you'll get maybe one of those playoff Lance moments where he'll get under LeBron's skin at home. Like, I don't know. I'm feeling pretty confident that they can at least probably win one or two of the next home games. And then it's a 2-2 series. And it comes down to some little moments here or there. Like, Vic's got to hit that three like he missed. I mean, I just think they're definitely in this series. And I think that this team, the Cavs are just LeBron and a bunch of, I mean, especially if Love has hurt, a bunch of scrubs who, you're basically just hoping that they can't hit 40% of their threes.
Yeah, they were. I think they missed a lot of 2-pointers too. Like Larry Nance shot one time. I think they can play better than this game. I really do. I think they have played better in this game. I mean, Kevin Love was only 5 of 16. Kevin Love. I mean, and if he's hurt, that could be a thing for him.
How about swing the series? If he's hurt, it could really swing the whole series.
Oh, I agree with you there.
Because it probably gets the Patriots.
That is my key to watch for Game 3, which I don't remember. I have a Game 3 preview, don't I, right?
Yeah, so you don't want to give away too much, right?
Because way too much, but I'm talking about Kevin Love.
I say the Pacers didn't have the second, probably the third, fourth. I mean, are the Pacers 5 starters all better than any other starter on the Cavs except for LeBron? If Kevin Love doesn't play? Maybe. Korver, JR can have their moments, but
how do you compare like Bojan and Rodney Hood? Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. You're right. I mean, I'm thinking that the Collison's probably better. Oladipo and Turner are definitely offensively are three better off. Well, maybe not that when JR's hot, but I don't know. They're three better. They're probably the next three best players in the series. Those three.
Yeah. So I said Korver's name, so now I'm going to vent about him too. Korver was 4 of 8 from three, and I believe on 3 of his makes, the Pacers just lost him. And I tweeted this every single time. How the bleep do you lose Kyle freaking Korver on a pick and pop when you're one pass away? Oh my God. I don't care. I'd rather have LeBron shoot anything than Korver shoot a wide open three, right?
No, I understand.
Tell me any shot you'd rather have LeBron take than a wide open Kyle Korver three.
Tony, I agree with you, but I'm saying when LeBron is there, that's why Kyle Korver is the best player to ever play with LeBron. Like, that's why Ray Allen was so good, because defenses just get sucked into watching LeBron, because you're always afraid LeBron is going to – like, every time LeBron has the ball, you're afraid he's going to bully whoever's in front of him, go right to the rim and lay it in. That's what your worry is. So then you have to double team, and so you don't always watch the guys in the perimeter. It's why J.R. Smith is so much better with LeBron. I mean, Korver's just one of the best three-point shooters, I think, maybe of all time. I don't know what his career percentage is, but he's that good. And so, I don't know. You take a 4-for-8 game in Korver. It's whatever.
I don't know. I that's what one of the people I was watching the game with said, and I totally agree. Like, if there's a pick and roll between Korver and LeBron, I'd rather you double team Korver out of that every time.
Yeah, LeBron goes right to the rim and dunks.
Okay, then you get 2 instead of 3.
So maybe that's what you do. Maybe that's what, I mean, you might be right. Maybe that's what they decided to do. Maybe they just say,
losing Kyle Korver.
Yeah, and also something to note, if Kevin Love doesn't play it, Turner's around the rim all of a sudden.
Yes, that would be huge. That's huge.
But yeah, that's where that comes in.
I think that was the biggest difference between this game is, I was going to get to that later. You know, when they have Jeff Green in, they can have Turner hang around on the rim and they can funnel everybody to him and he can be his normal defensive beast. But, you know, when Jeff Green played a lot less in this game, he only played 12 minutes, played the least of any Cav, unlike the first game when he started. You know, Jeff Green, first of all, stinks. And second of all, you know, him playing, he was -7 in a 3-point win. Like, he just plays losing basketball for this team. And when he's out there, Miles Turner can be a lot better. So, you know, the less he plays, the Turner still was good in this game, but he becomes less important to success. And in this game, that was really obvious. And I think that's going to be something to watch too going forward. Yeah. You're still on my game 3 preview stuff.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say Turner offensively has been really good the past 2 games, I thought. Yes, but what I was relating to Korver was, if Love doesn't play, you can double team Korver now because you can have Miles back protecting if LeBron goes to the rim.
Yes. I mean,
you might not win that every time, but you win it a few times, and that's kind of what you take.
Yes.
Plus, I do think LeBron doesn't always want to go for the contact. I mean, he doesn't want to be hit and bullied every time. I think that's why when he goes in the lane, you have to do what Sabonis did, and it shouldn't have been a flagrant, is just hit him. Hit the ball and make him feel the contact and make him next time think a little bit less about coming at you in the lane.
Yeah, that's exactly what they did in the first game, and that was amazing.
Yeah, that first game also, Oladipo shot out of his mind from three. And, you know, if he has 4 of those games, they're going to win the series. That's all it is, kind of. If he has 4 of those games where he can pull up from three and hit everything, they'll win the series. But if he has another 2-for-8 three-point game, they probably won't win the series. That's, like, very easy to say, but it's sort of they're going to live and die by his pull-up three-point shot, basically.
Yeah, I mean, 6 of 9 in the first game. I mean, they won by 18, so it wasn't, like, the most integral thing, but it was still huge.
No, but it destroyed their defense. That team's
destroyed
defense.
Them. They in this one from deep. I mean, like, is that not obvious enough, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, I have to commend Bojan for his defensive effort. He didn't get a ton of shots, I think, because he was playing so well on defense. Actually, I mean, he did the best you could do against LeBron for a guy his size and his speed that you can expect, I thought.
Even if you say he's doing bad, I think he's doing supremely better than I expected him to do.
He's staying in front of LeBron. I mean, yes. He's not afraid to get hit by LeBron, take the contact, and he's staying in front of him. I mean, that's it's what all you can ask for, basically.
I was going to give credit to him, too. Lance Stephenson, I'd also like to give credit to, because as terrible as he was in the first quarter, he was pretty good the rest of the game outside of turnovers. He does a lot of things.
Really good.
He does a lot of things I really don't like, but if he's shooting 50%, I'm okay with having him out there. So I'm eating crow again and like, all right, fine, Lance, you did good.
No, but the bench unit in that third, fourth quarter stretch, I thought played pretty well. I thought Booker did a nice job out there he only won basket, but got foul on. I mean, I thought they, without LeBron on the floor, they looked like the better bench unit, at least, than the Cavs.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That stretch without LeBron in the second quarter was like dominant. Like Trevor Booker looked like one of the best players in the game during that stretch.
So do you think he should just play Oladipo? Or Nate McMillan, sorry, should have played Oladipo the entire second half? I think you would have been too gassed.
I think you would have been too gassed, and it would have been careful challenging because he had three fouls at halftime, didn't he?
Yeah, but so with 4 minutes left, he still had only three fouls in the third quarter. So yeah. He's probably good at that point. Do you just let him play all 24? Because then I think he sat for probably 6 minutes, give or take, probably from like the 2 minute mark to the 10 minute mark, maybe more like nine. I'm kind of free balling off the top of my head. So he probably sat, let's say, a 5 minute stretch. I mean, they put him only at 33 minutes for the game. And if he plays as a bench unit, they probably – but LeBron probably also does have to play then too, but they probably just torch him if LeBron's not out there. I mean, they probably go take a lead at some point.
You know, that's the obvious counter is like Oladipo not playing means LeBron doesn't have to play as much. LeBron played under 40 minutes, which is crazy for him in the postseason.
I thought he played 40 exactly. I mean, the
39-53.
Okay, so he played 40 minutes.
Let me say my stats that are technically accurate.
Yeah, and also, how many times is LeBron going to come out and make his first six shots? I mean, come on. I mean, he's great, but how much? He's not going to hit those. Some of those step back jumpers, he was missing the game before.
Dude, but you can't knock them. They were unreal shots.
No, I know, but like, that's what I mean by it won't be replicated the rest of the series. Can he do that again? I mean, especially on the road, I'm not sure he can come out and hit his first six, especially some of the step back jumpers. And I don't know if he can do that. I mean, he's great, but he's not a great jump shooter. He's not like some superb jump shooter. He's a hit or miss jump shooter based on the day.
Yeah, he is. But he was great in this one. And he could
be. That's why they won.
There's a lot of reasons they won. But he was, 46 points is just nuts.
He carried the team. He scored half their points. I mean, he carried them.
Nobody else on this team. Next guy, I'm going to talk about Trevor Booker because I continue to like him being on the court. I think he fights hard for rebounds. He got a nice block. He fouls to prevent guys from scoring, not just a foul. He makes his shots. Like Trevor Booker, I would like Trevor Booker to get more minutes somehow. I don't know how that happened.
I don't know. They can do that. They'd have to get rid of. They have to stop playing the Sabonis Turner lineup.
Oh no.
I know, but like Sabonis is more versatile in offense than Booker is. Even I know Booker feels like can score more because he just can pound his way to the rim, pound his way kind of to the rim and get layups. But Sabonis is more versatile because he can hit the jump shot.
Sabonis was not hitting anything. Another game for him not hitting anything.
I know, but he theoretically had the jump shot better, and he's a really good screener. I mean, he's so good at setting picks. So I don't know. I would agree with you, but I just don't know where he gets it, especially if he can really – Booker can really only play when LeBron's not out there, and that's basically what happened.
That is what happened.
So I don't know how he plays more minutes unless you play him with Sabonis or with Turner, and I'm not sure you can play Sabonis and Booker together. I'm not sure that's
– The post guys don't change – when LeBron's out there, like he can compete with Nance, and I like that idea.
Yeah, but then you have to stop play, and you have to play him with. So, would you want them to play Booker and Sabonis together? Because that's, I don't know if I like that. LeBron out there, maybe second quarter. I don't know. I agree. I think Booker play well. I just don't know if he finds a way in this series. But then again, we don't know what happened to Kevin Love, and if he really did break his thumb, which I looks like he just at least dislocated it. Is he lefty or righty?
He's a righty. That was his shooting hand.
It was a shoot. I thought it was
his
left.
I thought it was his right hand.
I'm pretty sure he broke his left hand and it's his left hand.
Oh, shoot. I thought it was shooting hand.
But still, he relies on the dribble, so that's important.
I remember someone saying to me, oh, it's a shooting hand where I was watching it.
So. No, I think it was the hand he broke, which was his left hand.
Okay. Well, I could be wrong there. I have no confidence in my answer, so I believe
it. Well, we'll find out. When you do the preview, you'll know whether he's probably playing or not. There'll probably be some. But I think that's a huge thing if Kevin Love can't play. But if Kevin Love does play, maybe he'll be a little less effective, which also could be important. I mean, because Kevin doesn't play, then Booker can play and Sabonis can play. There's a whole different line you can play out there.
You want to know how you don't win, Adam?
How?
You turn it over 17 times.
True. And that was prior to that was Oladipo the entire first quarter and yes. second quarter, basically.
Yeah, they were trying to create with too much passing almost.
Lance was miserable sometimes.
To be fair, he corrected it every other quarter, but he was not good in that one.
No, he was not. He does not play well at the start without Depot. He plays really well next to Oladipo, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean,
I think that's the truth for everybody.
No, it is, but it's more glaring for him, I feel like. It's, like, very obvious for him. Like, he does not do well because when he plays without Oladipo, he's forced to be the guy with the ball in his hands at all times, and he's just not good at that.
No,
he's way better just kind of, like, end of shot clock getting a long two or somehow cutting into the lane and getting a nice, like, put-back layup or something like that. I don't know if a rebound, you know, he's that kind of player. Or a guy who pushes it really fast, but he's not the kind of guy where you set a half-court offense and give him the ball at the top of the court. He just stinks of that.
Yeah, he stinks at a lot of things.
Remember Point Lance?
Had that like 10-day stretch of the summer before they signed Carlson.
So happy that didn't happen.
they would have won what we predicted they would have won if Lance was actually the point guard.
Yeah. And I mean, the Pacers need to shoot better from three. They were 27%. Sorry, just another. I'm looking at some of the box score now.
They
like,
were off from three. Low attempts though. Like outside of Oladipo, nobody took a lot.
But that at home, a couple more of those should fall.
Yes. Yeah, Vic being too vague was odd. And
talk about the last play.
Carlson getting straightened out was nice. You know,
we talk about the Vic missed open three, or is that just obvious?
That was a good look. That was a great look. Good play.
I thought for sure he was going
to
tie it.
Good play call. I'll give full credit to Nate. That was awesome. The angle looked bad, so as soon as he let it go, I knew it wasn't going to go in. But I thought right when he caught it, there was
a chance. Yeah, I know. I stood up. I was like, he's going to nail this.
Yeah.
And then he missed it. Carlson, though, man. He needs to get more threes.
Carlson had a great game on offense. Asterisk on offense.
Yeah. He was not a great defender.
He
was talking about Hill at the end of the game, though.
Six assists, one turnover is what you want from him. Have your threes is what you want. Getting to the rim. They got to the rim pretty well in this game. And George Hill didn't kill everybody. Only 6 points for George Hill.
So. Yeah, I don't know what the final stats were for points in the paint. Oh, now I do. They had 62 points in the paint versus the Cavs 30. I mean, that I didn't look far enough down.
Now I do.
Now I know it. Sorry, guys. Now I know the point. But that's kind of how they have to win this series is just keep going to the rim because the Cavs don't play a rim protector unless they kind of play Nance. He's sort of like the only really suited one they have. They're clearly not playing Tristan Thompson. That's the only one they have, and so they have to just keep attacking the rim because I think especially at home they'll get more foul calls if they go to the rim more, and so you got to hope – you know that could be the difference. You get five more foul calls, you can win this game too. So I don't know. This game was not super discouraging because the Pacers played pretty bad and still had a shot to tie this game with 20 seconds left.
Yeah, I agree.
LeBron played really well. I mean, LeBron played
– really well.
It's like the LeBron finals, LeBron kind of like where he is just like doing everything when there's nobody. I mean, yeah, if he keeps playing this well, I mean, you just take it. I mean, you lose to LeBron, it's what happens. I mean, he's the best player in the world, but I just don't know if he can keep this up for probably four or five more games.
Yeah, without Love, his play will be imperative to keep an eye on.
Yeah, 100%.
Imperative, but really a fascinating game. I don't have anyone else I want to talk about really. I was impressed with Jose Calderon, actually. He didn't suck. That was something.
But yeah, I have one last thing if you want me to go. Let me say it.
I would love to, yes.
So my one last thing is this game, while it stunk, they didn't win. They did their job. They stole one home game from the Cavs.
Yeah, that's a good ending.
They did exactly what they were supposed to do.
They have home court advantage now.
You want them to win this game, and that's all good, whatever it is. But they got the one win they actually needed. It's not a big deal. They lost this game. It's what happens when you win game one. Usually the team that lost game one, especially the home team, comes back with a lot of energy for game two. It's what happens. And they fought off a extremely great first quarter from the Cavs to basically have a shot at winning this game. So it's all good. I want Pacers fans like shouldn't panic too much yet. If they lose at home, then you start worrying. But you know, we'll see what happens when they come at home in game three. They are 27-14 at home, and they are a really good home team. There shouldn't be too much panic in Pacer land and what I mean by Pacer Twitter because this game, wow, there's a lot of sirens. Sorry, you guys have to hear that.
I can hear that. That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm recording to a hospital.
They're coming for you, Adam. They heard you swear on the podcast.
you swear before me, but they just don't panic. Don't worry about it. They play Friday. Let's see what they can do, because I have a feeling they'll come out and play a lot better to start the game at least, especially if Vic can stay out of, I don't want to cuss, foul trouble, effing foul trouble. If he stays out of effing foul trouble, this game is completely different.
And Adam, this podcast is off the rails.
It is. It's also being recorded at 10:30 after the game. Both of us are hungry. I made you skip dinner. Don't do this. I'm going to go eat dinner after. I mean, it's whatever it is. But I just don't want people to panic about this game, because I think it's you did your job. You got your one win on the road.
Exactly. I'm with you there. All the way with you there. But it'll be fascinating to see how they come out in game three, as it always is.
Yep, and you're doing that preview, right? Coming out.
I am, in fact. I will be on tomorrow, everybody. Two things for me. One, listen to me tomorrow. Talk about game three. And two, read my article that I am going to write about not losing Kyle Korver.
That's a good article. I'm looking forward to reading that. Also, we're probably going to do just one podcast for the weekend, previewing the game four and reviewing game three, just so people know. We probably won't make – well, I won't come out until Sunday.
Yes.
And it sounds like something is burning down behind me, so maybe I should take a look.
Okay, just kidding. I think that
just kidding. Joke. I'm fine.
This podcast is fire, dude. That's all it is.
Well, this is what happens when you record after the Pacers lose a close one, and it's 10:30 at night, and we're both kind of hyped up and hungry. It's what happens. Yes. But I thought this was a good one. I personally had fun.
I did have fun. I always have fun, Adam. We're good at this. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow. Well, I'll be back tomorrow. Adam's lazy ass won't be.
Okay, I recorded on Wednesday. Calm down. We split the previews this week. Calm down, Tony. Calm down.
I'll be back tomorrow to talk about game three. Hopefully everybody enjoyed this game as much as they could in a loss. And game three will be awesome. If you're going to be there, hit me up. And have a great Thursday.